Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Kat, to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. We're so excited to have you on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, wow, I'm super excited to hear your journey. So, gosh, where do we start? When did it start? How did it start?
Lots of questions,
right?
With lots of complicated answers.
Everything about Lyme is complicated, right?
It really, really is, yeah. I first got sick in 2005. I was 30 at the time, and I was very active, running, swimming, yoga. I was working full time, new marriage, new house, like all kinds of things in the mix there. And I was under a great deal of stress at the time. So my first symptom was chronic fatigue. Like it was very sudden. Of course, it wasn't chronic then. It was just fatigue.
Right.
But I just couldn't do anything. Like I couldn't hold my head up. I didn't have the energy to get through the day. I kept falling asleep. And it just was really, really bad. And the only thing I could even compare it to was having mono when I was in college, you know, and I just wanted to sleep all the time. And now that I've put all the pieces together, I know that a new Lyme infection reactivated Epstein-Barr. So I was dealing with kind of both of those at the same time. But that was first. It was just fatigue.
Okay.
And I went to the doctor and he said, you're under a lot of stress. Just take it easy for a while and you'll be fine. So I was dismissed there and I went on about my life as well as I could. But other strange things that seemed completely unrelated kept popping up for me. I started to get really bad headaches, sometimes full-blown migraines, you know, with the aura and the nausea, and sometimes just like, oh, I can't get through another day feeling like this kind of headaches. My neck got really, really stiff, and I started getting a lot of neck pain. So I couldn't really even turn my neck, and I had this pain that radiated up into my head and down through my arm into my fingertips, and my fingertips would go numb. Other just strange things, like my knee got really swollen and really sore, and I got a trigger finger. I couldn't bend my finger. And most of it was on the right side of my body. And to me, these were all unconnected things. You know, I thought all of these things were just random things going wrong with my body.
Is that what happens at the age of 30? All of our bodies start shutting down.
That's what one of the doctors I saw told me. You're just getting older. Things hurt more when you're older. And I was like, you know, how are people living to be 70, 80, 90 years old if they start feeling like this at 30? Like,
right.
There's just no way anyone would live like that for this long. So throughout that period, I really was dismissed a lot each time I would go to the doctor. I did insist on a Lyme test at one point, and the doctor laughed at me. Oh, it's going to be negative. You didn't see a tick. You didn't have a bullseye rash. You don't have Lyme disease. But he ran the test anyway, and it was negative. A few months later.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
How did you know about Lyme? So obviously you were familiar with it because so many people aren't.
Yeah, I went online and Googled I guess it wasn't even Google back in 2005, was
right.
it? I searched for my symptoms and I found an article by a man from somewhere in New England who had the exact same symptoms I did. And at first I was completely blown away by that. I mean, these things were so bizarre and disconnected. I couldn't believe that he had the same things. I mean, the trigger finger, the knee, the neck pain, the headaches, the tiredness. And he said that he has Lyme disease. And so I was so excited to find that article because I finally had a name for all the things that were wrong with me. But the doctor dismissed it, said, no, it's not Lyme, ran the test, and it was indeed negative, just, you know, the ELISA. And And so a few months later, I insisted that they test again and was told that it was inconclusive. And I didn't know what that meant, but the doctor assured me it meant it was negative. So
Course it
I
was.
was tested twice that year. Both times was, told it was not Lyme disease. So I went back to the article by the guy who had Lyme disease because I thought, well, if he had the same symptoms that I do, perhaps what he did to treat it would help me. And so he treated with antibiotics, which I didn't have access to because the doctors insisted I didn't need them. But he also treated with a raw foods diet. And so that was my first approach at treating all of this. I did not eat anything cooked over 100 degrees for a couple of weeks. I ate nothing but fruits and vegetables, basically. And after about 2 weeks, the fatigue was not as bad, and the headaches were a little more manageable, and I was starting to feel a little bit more normal. And so I kept doing that for several months until I was basically back to myself again. I felt like I was pretty much recovered. I had a few more headaches than normal, still had that knee pain. I wasn't able to run as much. Was still tired, but I figured, maybe the doctor was right. Maybe this is just getting older, and it was all exacerbated by the
Everything going
stress of
on
what
in
I
your
was
life.
going through.
Right,
So maybe it was just age and stress and okay, no problem. So I went on with life. I had my daughter in 2008, 3 years later. She was early but healthy, at least until she turned 8 and she started showing some of the same symptoms that I had. But we can talk more about her later if you wish. That's her own, her own journey. She's 13 now and still struggles with some of these things. So that, the next couple of years, I got back to normal. I started running again, especially when she was a baby. We'd run with her in the stroller, and when she got bigger, we'd do 5Ks with the jogging stroller, and it was great. She'd cheer me on. It was wonderful. I got tired, but who doesn't? Life's tiring, so
You're busy. Of course you're going to get tired.
yeah, so I pretty much dismissed the whole Lyme thing, let it go, and just figured I was better.
So were you still on a diet?
I did that for probably about 4 months.
Okay.
And then once I felt like I was kind of back to normal, I started eating other things and regularly, and I didn't see any problems. So
Okay.
I just kind of let that go until 2013. And I remember it specifically because I was training for a half marathon and I went out and I ran 9 miles and I felt fantastic. Like my body was tired because I just ran really far, but I was good. I felt like I was in good shape. I was happy. The next day, so that was June the 4th, I ran 9 miles. June the 5th, I couldn't get out of bed. And it wasn't that like my muscles were tired because I did too much. It wasn't running fatigue. It was just more like I had the flu.
Okay.
And my entire body felt weighted down, like just achy and sore, and the headaches and the neck pain was back. So I had some of the same symptoms that I had had before, but also some new ones joined in, and it was very sudden. And so as I look back at my timeline now, I'm pretty sure that in 2005, I got bit by a tick or some other insect carrying Lyme. I got Lyme, which reactivated the Epstein-Barr. And so I was able to push those aside with healthier eating, with the raw foods diet. In 2013, I think I probably got bit by another tick. I
Oh,
didn't
I
see
see.
one, but I live in the woods in Pennsylvania. I mean, we actually see ticks all the time. I didn't see one attached to me, but that's not
You're around them.
unreasonable to make that leap because we live in the woods. And so, anyway, I stayed in bed for a while, called it the flu. I also had some pretty high fevers, although they didn't register on a thermometer. And it would just feel like I was blazing hot, like inside my head, inside my brain. And
And your temperature's fine.
my temperature was fine.
Yes, I
So
went through a lot of that.
I'm pretty sure at that time, probably on that run or on that day on the fourth, I got bit by a tick that was carrying tick-borne relapsing fever, which I was, much, much, much later diagnosed with. So I really struggled that whole summer. I really couldn't do very much, very low key. I'm luckily a teacher, so I was off for the summer and I could just lay around and not do a lot. But I finally started feeling I tried several things at that time. I tried acupuncture, which would help while I was there. But by the time I was, an hour away, and by the time I'd drive home, I'd just feel
Just all
junky
came
again.
back, yeah.
I saw several different doctors and specialists, and I was sent for physical therapy, which did a great job improving my range of motion, but did nothing to help with the pain that I was feeling in my neck and my shoulder and my head. I was referred to a chiropractor. Again, I would feel good while I was in the office, and by the time I walked out to the car and drove home, I'd feel like garbage again. So, lots of different things that I tried. I tried the raw foods again. It didn't seem to have the same impact that it did before.
Oh, okay.
It helped a little bit with the energy, but I just felt like I couldn't get over the flu. And finally, in September, so it was 3 or 4 months that I was feeling pretty lousy. In September, I was starting to feel a little bit better. And I even was thinking, okay, I'm going to start running again. And I took a pregnancy test and was pregnant. So I'm pretty sure my body rallied when I got pregnant and it kind of pushed, tamped everything down. And because I
Right.
really did, both times I was pregnant, I felt really good, which is what I finally saw Lyme literate MD. It was one of his suggestions. Well, just be pregnant all
Yeah.
the time. You feel better. Joking, of
That
course,
won't give you any
but
fatigue, right?
no. But at least then you feel like the fatigue's justified, right?
Right,
Because you're
exactly.
carrying this whole person around. But
Exactly.
I had a healthy pregnancy. I felt pretty good. I was good for a while until 2017. And this time I actually saw a tick. It was a teeny tiny little nymph about the size of a poppy seed on the back of my knee. And at the time, I still didn't know very much about ticks or about tick-borne diseases because I'd been told over and over through all the doctors that I'd seen that I didn't have any of them. I actually tested at least 10 times between 2005 and 2019, and every time it was either negative or inconclusive, except for one, I got a positive test, but the doctor said, "Oh, it's a false positive because you don't have enough bands to meet the CDC criteria." So even with a positive test, even with band 23, which is indicative of an active Lyme infection, I was still denied
They're
treatment.
still
So
telling you.
that
Oh,
was really tough.
that is
Anyway,
very
I
tough.
found the tick that time. 2017, I found the tick, but it was that teeny tiny little nymph, and I figured there was nothing to worry about, nothing there. I pulled it off, never got a rash. 2 days later, I started vomiting like crazy. I was so sick. And I did not know until quite a few years later when my son got anaplasmosis that it presents with gastrointestinal problems. So that little nymph gave me anaplasmosis. And somewhere along the lines, I'm guessing it was the 2013 incident, I also got babesia. So when I
Wow.
finally was tested by a Lyme literate doctor, all four of those showed up right on my chart: tick-borne relapsing fever, anaplasmosis, babesia, and Lyme. So I was really
You had it
struggling with
all.
all of those.
You
Yeah,
had it all.
I didn't have Bartonella, so at least there's that.
Right.
But
So, did you, what led you to go find a Lyme doctor?
well, I was pretty sure. That tick bite was 2017. From there, I got progressively worse through the
Okay.
next few years. And I kept going to see doctors. They kept referring me to specialists. I saw rheumatologists and infectious disease and orthopedists. And I saw all kinds of doctors, none of whom could tell me what was going on. I showed all of them the positive Lyme test. They all said, "Oh, not really positive because you don't have enough bands." I had one IgM and four IgGs, and you need two IgMs or five IgGs. So.
And unfortunately, most people that test positive for Lyme are not CDC positive, but still sick as you can get. Mm-hmm. I know I wasn't CDC positive. And I'm like, well, I don't care. I still have it because I'm sick. Something's wrong with me. So,
see, I didn't know enough to make that argument. I believed that all of these doctors had my best interests, you know, not that they were working for the pharmaceutical companies and only wanted something they could write a prescription for.
Yep. And that's exactly the true facts right there.
It really is.
Yeah.
So 2019, I pursued every traditional medicine option I could find. I saw every specialist. I did all the things, you know, the physical therapy and the chiropractors again. And so throughout all of that, I did 3 courses of physical therapy. None of it helped at all. Like range of motion, sure, but as far as managing the pain, and the pain just got to be so bad in my neck, I just couldn't handle it. I didn't even know what to do with myself because I would get these muscle knots in the back of my shoulder. My posture just, I caved in on myself. Like I couldn't hold my head up, and it really was, it was awful. Yeah. It was really, really bad. Yeah. And not only was the physical pain and were the physical symptoms really hard to manage, but then you have all the mental stuff that goes along with it. You know, I fell into a very deep depression that, you know, there is no end. There is no light at the end of this tunnel. There just didn't seem to be a way out. Nothing is helping. I've seen all of these doctors. I wasted all of this money. And so finally, it was a visit with a quack rheumatologist that... I mean, the advice that he gave me, it really put me on the edge of being suicidal. Like he told me he thought he was making up my symptoms for attention. He told me it was all in my head, and it was, part of it was neurological lines. So it was in my head, but it wasn't because I'm crazy. The only thing he wanted me to do was to take antidepressants. That was his only solution. I showed him the positive Lyme test. He said, well, yeah, you had Lyme, but you've had it too long for anybody to be able to help you. So it's too late for you. This man was just awful. For the fatigue, he wanted me to drink Red Bull or Monster Energy drinks. And it was awful. It was the worst experience. But it was also the best experience, because when he told me that I was just making up my symptoms for attention, that was the first thing I heard that I knew without a shadow of a doubt was absolutely not true. Because I didn't talk to anybody about being sick. I hid it from my family and friends as much as I could. They didn't really know why I would cancel out on things or not show up for things. They just thought I was getting kind of flaky. And so I didn't talk to anyone except for the doctors that I was seeing. And they kept telling me that, you know, there wasn't anything wrong. Your labs look great. So when he said that I was making it up for attention, I knew that was wrong. I knew he was wrong. And so that opened up this whole world of, if he's wrong about this, what else could he be wrong about? And so I knew a lot of the things, like the Monster Energy drinks, that I knew that there's no way I would do that to my body. Right. I knew that, you know, the antidepressants were not what I needed to fix all of the physical things that were wrong in my body. And so I started realizing how many things he was wrong about. I never went back to see him again. And I decided.
Hopefully he's not even still a doctor. I mean, that's about the worst advice I've ever heard.
It was really, really bad. And he was supposed to be like a well-known rheumatologist in our area, but he didn't help me. And so anyway, I could talk for hours about the bad medical experiences that I had, but really I decided if he was wrong about that, then he was wrong about me not having Lyme disease, and he was wrong about me not being able to help myself or to cure myself. And so I started reading everything I could get my hands on, going to every webinar I could, which is really, really hard when you're trying to read Booner's. Is it Booner? Is that the right name?
Buhner's.
Buhner. Yes. I'm trying to read his book of all these herbs, with Lyme brain fog, and the words just swim, and I can't figure out which of these things I'm supposed to take. And so I just picked some, the ones that kept coming up in everything that I heard, Japanese knotweed, cat's claw. There were certain things that you heard over and over again. And so I thought, all right, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna try. And so I bought all of this stuff, like every product I could find somebody recommended in social media or anywhere online, I tried it and it didn't really help. I mean, sometimes I would feel like for a day or two, oh, maybe I'm feeling a little bit better, and then I would crash again. And I think the real problem was I was trying to treat Lyme, but I was trying to fight Lyme, tick-borne relapsing fever, anaplasmosis, and babesia. So I wasn't trying to fight all of them, and I didn't know what I was doing. So finally in 2020, I was just so sick. And then the pandemic came about, and then there's all this stress that goes along with all of that. And the stress with the illness that I already had was way too much for me to manage. And I really was very close to the edge. It was a very dark time. So I found a couple of things. The first thing I found was CBD oil, which helped me to manage the pain. And I had tried it a couple times before, but I would just try it once and be like, ah, that didn't do anything. And so I finally got the advice that if you take it every day at the same time, the same dose, after a while, it's going to start to help. It's not like a magic one button
It's okay.
cure. So after a couple of weeks, it actually did help to start manage the pain. So that was one thing I mean, it didn't fix it, but it brought it down. It turned down the
Right.
volume.
It has to turn it down a little bit because when you're so sick, you can't think clearly. You're so exhausted. You're in so much pain. We can't function. How are we supposed to try to figure anything out? So I bet that helped a lot, just lowering that level to where maybe you could even think about something besides the pain that you're in.
Because it really being in pain constantly, it changes who you are. It
Absolutely.
changes your personality. It changes your outlook. Everything just looks so dark when everything hurts.
Yep,
So
exactly.
that was the
Exactly.
one thing that helped. And then the other thing was I had a friend whose son had Lyme disease and was seeing a local doctor. I didn't know what a Lyme literate doctor even was, but she was seeing this local doctor, and she recommended that I go check it out. And so I did. It was a functional medicine doctor. And he is Lyme literate, and he really saved my life. He, in his office, the very first day, he spent 2 hours just talking to me. He was already familiar with my history because he had read through all of the charts, and I had never had a doctor spend that much time with me. I
That
mean, I was
much
paying for
time. Right. Well,
it,
still, you usually
but
don't get
you.
that much time, even if you pay for it.
You get what you pay for is what I walked away thinking. This just was definitely. And he diagnosed me with Lyme and babesia before I left the office. He said, "We'll run this blood work and see what else is going on." So he did all kinds of blood tests and then was able to share that I had all four of those things going on.
Wow.
And what kind of labs did he run? I mean, what?
It was through Vibrant America.
Okay, yeah, which I mean, it's one of the ones that I use as well, which is quite. I mean, it's a broad spectrum of things that it will show, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I really like how it shows, where you are according to the CDC, but where you are in real life too.
Exactly. Yeah, the CDC is, they really don't believe in Lyme.
Yeah, you
No,
have to
it's.
have every band in order for somebody to believe you in the CDC.
Yeah,
Well,
exactly.
and with so many co-infections out there that they don't even test for, you wonder how many people are walking around with tick-borne diseases that just have no idea.
And so he recognized that these were your co-infections. I mean, what was his next step? I mean, I know you left feeling, I mean, feeling like somebody actually is listening to me, which is kind of a rare feeling when you leave a doctor. But so what was his approach to address it?
Sure. So, yeah, the biggest thing that he gave me that day was hope. You know,
I was just going to say,
I was no longer doing this alone, that, you know, he promised he would never tell me it was all in my head, that, you know, and he had heard all the stories. You know, he treats Lyme patients, and he knew all of it and was very knowledgeable. And so I left that day with a great deal of hope with, you know, I have a whole team now.
Now that something's actually wrong with you, you can get better. If nothing's wrong with you, you can't get better. So how can you have hope?
Yeah, I felt like all of the doctors that I had seen up until that point really belittled everything I was going through and made me feel like if I was in this much pain or if I was experiencing all of it, it was because I was weak or I just couldn't handle it or, you know, mentally I was unstable. And so this was the first time that I felt like I was seen, you know, that he really understood what I was going through. But after that, I got really frustrated because the first step for him as a functional medicine doctor was diet. And I felt like my diet was already pretty good. I didn't eat gluten. I didn't eat sugar. I followed Trim Healthy Mama. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they, you know, separate the fats and the carbs, and it's focused on, you know, keeping your blood sugar stable, because I do have diabetes in my family history, and I'm trying really hard to avoid that. So anyway, he sent me to the functional nutritionist, who laid out, you know, exactly what I could eat and couldn't eat for the next 30 days, and it was the autoimmune protocol, AIP, and so I followed that for 30 days. And that just felt so slow to me, because I still in my mind thought, hey, I've got this Lyme diagnosis. All I need is a prescription for doxycycline and I will be better. I didn't have any idea how complicated treating all of these illnesses really are, or really is. So I did it, though. I did not eat any dairy, gluten, sugar, corn, soy, you know, any of the things on that big long list that I couldn't have. I followed it for 30 days, and then it was a slow reintroduction of foods one at a time, eaten several times over 3 days to see if you had any kind of reaction. And his advice was to never reintroduce dairy, sugar, gluten, corn, or soy. And so still today, that's what I'm following. You know, it's been almost 2 years now. I did go on a cruise a couple of weeks ago, and I had a little bit of dairy and a little bit of sugar because I was on a cruise. But at home, that is how I will continue to eat probably for the rest of my life, because at the time I was still eating dairy. And when I cut that out, I lost about 20 pounds of inflammation. So, I mean, I didn't think I had a problem with dairy. I would eat it. I wouldn't see a connection to what I was going through or to, you know, my weight or anything. I was never really, really obese. And but yeah, I know that I just, my body can't handle dairy. It causes a great deal of inflammation for me. So
that's,
I did
that. Interesting to hear, because I eat a lot of dairy. I eat a lot of eggs. I eat a lot of cheese. I know, as my doctor sitting right next to me, the truth is coming out, right? I don't think I have a problem with dairy, but now hearing this from you, because I deal with weight issues and stuff, and I don't know. Well, thanks for that little tip. I might have to reevaluate that at some point.
it is actually, I mean, it's a good habit, exactly like what you're doing. You cut out the inflammatory foods, you do it for 3 weeks, you do it for a month, and then introduce one at a time and see how your body's responding to it. And you can, along with how you feel, you can actually take your pulse, and the pulse should not increase by more than 8 beats per minute after eating. And if it does, you know, so it's what's called the COCO pulse test. And so you sit in a relaxed fashion, and then you take your pulse before eating. Then you eat, and then 15 minutes after you've eaten, you take your pulse again. And if it has increased more than 8, then it's a likelihood that is a food that's triggering stress.
Very interesting. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
All right, so you have to go for a little jog around the house before you take your pulse. And then after you eat the food, it'll definitely be down. You'll know that's an okay food, right?
That's a trick. Ice cream is good for me. I knew it.
Yes, indeed.
So, so,
I,
Okay, so how did you feel then? I mean, you start with a diet. I know that that was a very frustrating, and it doesn't feel like, you know, I want to take this pill and get it all done with. You know, it's like, you know, why do I have to build a foundation? That's ridiculous. So
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I felt so strongly that I should have just started things right away. And I did say that to doctor that isn't there something we can do to get started other than diet? And he said, trust me, it's part of the process. We're going to get your body in the best shape possible before starting the antibiotics so that they can be more effective. And he was 100% on. I mean, he knew what he was talking about, because I see so many people talking about when they're on antibiotics for a long time that, you know, it just ruins their gut health and it makes them so sick and nauseous. And I never had a minute's trouble with my stomach. Never, like nothing. I was on two antibiotics for 8 months and I never had a trouble. It just was fine. So I really attribute that to him and making me eat that way for a while and then continuing to eat that way while I treated. So after the month of AIP, then I went back and started herbal supplements and did that for a couple of months before adding the antibiotics. And his hope and mine too was that because I had been sick for so long, the antibiotics might not be effective. So perhaps if we treat with diet and herbs, you will magically get better. But I didn't. There was no magical cure for me.
There wasn't. So he didn't bring in then the antibiotic until trying the diet and the herbs first.
Is that right.
Correct? Okay. And,
yeah.
And what kind of herbs did he bring in?
Yeah, herbs and supplements. So one thing my blood work showed was that my vitamin D and my omega levels were super low. And so he recommended a vitamin D3 with K2, 10,000 of that a day, as well as I think it was about 1,000 omega-3s. And after taking those for a while, I really did see a change in my energy. And so I do think that those two things being so low were really affecting my fatigue. And so bringing those numbers back up, which I just had blood work done again early in July, and my D numbers are excellent, and my omegas are still a little low, but much higher than they were. So I do think those two things helped a lot. Some other supplements he put me on as well, they're not coming to mind right now. But as far as the herbs, the main ones were Biocedin, Crypto Plus, BDNF Essentials. Trying to remember, I should have brought a list, sorry. The Beyond Balance BAB1 and Methyl B Complete.
Okay. The methylation issue.
Yeah. So that's all I can remember right now.
That's
sorry.
That's good. That's a good list.
Yeah, that's great. And then you recognize that, you know, I'm not feeling much better, maybe a little bit more energy with the D and the omega. And so what antibiotics did he, was doxy one of them or what?
Yeah, I was on Ceftin and doxycycline for about 3 weeks. And I was feeling much better. Like I started to feel human and have less pain. And I thought, this is it. I'm finally there. And then week four, I completely crashed. I felt worse than I did before starting. I wasn't doing enough detox. So my doctor advised Alka-Seltzer Gold and Epsom salt baths and lemon water, all those things to try to rid my body of the toxins. But also he thought I was reacting poorly to the doxycycline. So he switched me over to azithromycin.
Okay, great. And you felt better with that shift then? I mean, it
sounds not immediately. No. It was a pretty slow process. Lots of roller coasters. I mean, that's when I think back across the last couple of years, I just feel like I've been on one monster roller coaster, you know, just huge hills and loop-de-loops, and just all of it. But I got really depressed at times through treatment while I was on the antibiotics because I didn't feel like I was getting better fast enough. I didn't feel like I would ever get better. It was really, really a challenging time. But
What made you stick to it?
I didn't have any other alternatives. I didn't know what else to do other than let go. There just weren't any other options.
And when you finally met this doctor, compared to all the other ones, he at least gave you that hope. Like he
Yeah,
believed you. So it was kind of like you tried things on your own, didn't work. You tried listening to these doctors, that didn't work. You find somebody who believes you and is giving you a process and a program to follow. You probably didn't want to do it, but like you said, there's what was my other option? I've tried all my other options and none of them worked. So.
It really took a lot of self-discipline. It did. I mean, to not just eat the cake at the party and to take your own food everywhere because you can't eat out. And it's not easy. It's really challenging. And I did, as part of the program at this doctor's office, they also required me to see a functional psychotherapist. Which at the time, both that and the nutritionist, I thought, oh, I don't need those, but I did. And she had some really, really good advice that I think I kind of clung to throughout that period too. One thing is she said, give us a year. She promised that by the end of the year, there would be some sunshine. And I thought that was just a very arbitrary time period because I'd been sick for 17 years. But that got me through that period, knowing that she promised at the end of this year
Gives you that
I would
countdown that you can
start. It
count down
did.
to,
It
yeah.
did. And at the end of that year, I could see a little sun. You could finally see that it was not so bad. Also, she said that Lyme is a family disease. She said, not necessarily that you are going to give it to your family, but that they have to go through this journey with you. And so it's really important to keep them in the loop, to let them know how you're feeling, what you're doing to treat your body, what you're doing for self-care. Because for me, not putting my kids and my husband and my parents, my family first feels selfish. And I needed somebody to give me permission to let myself come first. And that was really a huge part of my journey was when you're tired, you need to rest. It's not that you're being lazy, which is hard to convince yourself of when you see piles of laundry or dishes or things that need done around the house or work's calling you. And it's hard to believe that just resting is okay. But I had to give myself permission to do that. So that was good to hear that. It helped to get me in a better place, I think.
Right. Yeah. And just to validate how you're feeling and what your body's going through. You know, somebody's telling you that it's okay to take care of yourself. You know, I we're adults. We know that we're supposed to take care of others and help others, and we forget to take care of ourselves. So sometimes when we're sick like that, we don't think clearly. We need somebody to point out the simple things in life for us. Like you are sick. You need to rest. You need to take care of your body because we can't sometimes figure that out for ourselves. And it sounds silly, but Lyme really does get in our brain and does a lot of things to us. And
Oh, it
we
affects your
can't.
mood and how you react to things. And I mean, just every part of your life is affected. And my husband was wonderful. I mean, he would be so gentle. He would say, maybe you could go lay down for a little while. What he really wants to say is stop yelling at everybody. Stop stomping around like a monster. You're insane. Go rest. But he was very, very patient. My family has been amazing through all of this. So it was good that she gave me that permission to open up to them more and let them know what's going on. And even, talking with my kids, this is why I can't go to take you to the park today. This is why I need to take care of my body so that I can get strong again and I can do those things with you.
Can be the old you. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love that that they recommended that you saw that psychotherapist, because, you know, a lot of times these doctors will want to send us to a counselor because nothing's wrong with you. Go to a counselor because nothing's wrong with you. It's all in your head. But when somebody finds, you know, you find somebody that acknowledges that something is wrong with you and then does also recommend that therapy, I think it's really important, because it is a very lonely and dark place when you're sick like that and you lose all hope. Yeah. So I love hearing that your doctor sent you there.
Because you're in such a difficult place, and it's important to have the tools, you know, to emotionally, mentally, to be able to navigate that space. And and you can't. I mean, like you're saying, is that it's impossible to do that when you barely can have an appropriate thought. I mean, you're sick, you're in pain, your energy is gone, you brain fog, you know, emotions all over the place. You know, so then you need to have somebody to give strong directions and guide you in how to navigate that. So I think that was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And so today you feel amazing?
I wouldn't say amazing. I would say good. I would strongly say good. I still have some things that I'm struggling with. Still have some pretty bad histamine reactions. For some reason, when I walk or when I exercise, my legs break out in hives. And so I'm still trying to figure that out. my blood work shows that my body still thinks it's under attack, even though my Lyme test that just was repeated here in July, my Lyme doctor said it's the prettiest Lyme test he's seen in a very long time. Oh. So the only thing that was showing up on it was tick-borne relapsing fever in my history as an IgG. So it wasn't showing any of the other things at all, which is fantastic. Which I know the blood work is not perfect. I know that easily there could be things there that are hiding from it, but combining that with how I feel.
Yes.
You know, I think definitely.
That's your second confirmation how you feel. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. How long did it take before you felt, yeah, good? Yeah, not great, but good.
Yeah. So I started treating in November of 2020. And like within a year, I definitely was starting to see some improvement. But it was not until just this past spring, in April, we went to North Carolina to the beach for a week, and I felt normal. You know, I could read books and not get, not have to read the same sentence six times to understand what it was saying because the brain fog. I could walk on the beach without pain. It really, really was great. And, you know, there's another part of my healing journey that I didn't mention that was really, really crucial. Even after treating with the antibiotics and the herbs and all the things, and I was starting to feel better, I guess that was, you know, November of 2021, I still had lingering headaches and neck pain. Everything else was a lot better. Energy was up, you know, body pain in general, the mood swings, most of that stuff had gone away, but the pain in my neck and shoulder. So I went to see a physical therapist who is a functional movement specialist. So she, you know, watches how you move, how you sit, how you walk, and gives you specific exercises to try to correct your posture. And so that was a piece, was doing those exercises, but then also she did dry needling, which was so helpful with my neck and shoulder pain. So that really was what kind of brought me that last leg. And so I saw her from November through probably April sometime right before I went to the beach there. And so since then I've been a solid good.
A solid good.
Solid good is good.
Solid good. So yeah, the functional movement piece. I had done physical therapy three times and increased range of motion, but still always had that pain. So it really was the functional movement piece with the dry needling that brought me home.
That is so awesome.
So, but because I still have, I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
Okay. Because I still have some things showing up in my blood work that my body does still, you know, think it's under attack. I'm going to start low dose immunotherapy next week just to see if, you know, those final little edges. So I can go from good to excellent.
Yes.
So hopefully that will help.
Yes. Wonderful. I'm sure you will find your way to excellent. Your journey, I'm kind of exhausted thinking about it. It seems like forever ago we were talking about when you started it. You've been through a lot.
I have been through a lot. I've realized how strong I really am, which, you know, all of those early doctor's visits, I just felt like I was so weak. And now I look at what I've been through and I compare what good feels like to what I felt like when I was really sick. And I know I am not weak. I am very strong, and I learned a ton through this journey. So, I mean, would I want to do it again? Absolutely not. But I learned a lot about nutrition and food and our healthcare system, which is not good in my opinion. But probably the most important thing I learned was to trust my own body, to trust how I feel, that it doesn't matter what someone else thinks of my condition or what I'm going through. I need to trust myself and listen to my body. When I'm tired, I need to rest. I'm not being lazy. I'm healing.
Yeah.
So
that's a very good point.
Learned a lot.
Yeah.
Well, and LDI, you know, low dose immunotherapy is really, it's powerful. And if somebody's really good at it, it can really create a huge shift. But it is, you know, if you overdo it, then you have these reactions, and then you know that was a powerful protocol, but you just have to tone it down a little bit. So
it's just my next roller coaster.
But it's
got
not
off
gonna
one
have
ride, time to get on another.
It's not gonna be as big though. It's not gonna
I
be
hope
as big.
Not. It's the kiddie coaster, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So you're off of antibiotics now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Good. And have been for quite a while, yep, and I'm doing very well. Still taking herbs and supplements. And still dieting, but I'm good.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Well, is there any kind of final thought or something that you would want to tell people that is embarking on your journey, that these are my words of wisdom that I wish I would have known?
Oh, the pressure's on. Something great and profound.
I know, exactly. So now... I have the little kind of dim, 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 dim.
Oh, I would say that being sick definitely changed me. It changed who I am, and some of those things are for the better. I just would recommend that if you are going through any of this, if you think that you might have Lyme, have a tick-borne disease, or just you're not feeling as good as you can, to keep fighting. Find that person who gives you hope and can help you heal, because you need to trust your body and trust that, you know, you can get through this, and you will.
Yeah.
See,
that's awesome.
You were very, that's like the best fortune cookie right there.
Yeah.
I'll
take that cookie any day. Yeah. Yeah.
But is it gluten free, sugar free, dairy free, corn free, and soy free? Because if not, I'm not touching it.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you, Kat, so much for sharing your journey with us. I'm just over thrilled that you are feeling a solid good.
Thank you so much.
Forward to you feeling amazing after this next little roller coaster. But
absolutely,
we appreciate your journey. You're going to help so many others just help navigate themselves through this nightmare, is what it is. So we appreciate you.
So. Well, thank you so much for your time, and keep fighting the good fight. We appreciate you getting the word out there that we're not all crazy. It's not all in our heads.
Isn't that amazing though? How, you know, because the medical profession is inept in dealing with something, so now they have to shift the blame onto the patient. I mean, what good is
absolutely
that? Absolutely. I mean, it always fascinates me, but anyway.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your journey and bringing hope to people that are struggling.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. Those of us who have been through hell have the obligation to help lead others out, right?
Right.
So
I love it.
Thank you for letting me tell my story.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Bye. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.